Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Tuesday, March 24th. Joining me in studio this morning, the Reverend Dr. Joel Lehenbauer, Executive Director of the LCMS Commission on Theology and Church Relations. Good morning, Dr. Lehenbauer.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Good to have you back in studio again this morning and get an update on the Commission on Theology and Church Relations. For our listeners not familiar with the CTCR, give us an idea. What is the work of the Commission on Theology and Church Relations?
Yeah, the commission exists basically to provide resources to the synod on theological issues and also to assist the president of the synod mainly in church relations kinds of issues. So the synod president has responsibility of maintaining relationships with our partner churches throughout the world and also exploring possibilities for new relationships. And the Commission on Theology gets involved in helping him evaluate those relationships and providing resources for his contact with them and dialogue with them. And theologically, we simply try to, you know, kind of keep our eye on what the current theological issues and sometimes the more controversial issues are out there in the church and in the larger world, and provide documents as requested, and sometimes on our own. We sometimes make our own decision and say, hey, here's an issue that seems to be kind of neuralgic. Perhaps we could provide a resource that would help people think through and talk through that. And in fact, one of the resources we'll be talking about today, the Bible study on a response to hostility and persecution against Christians, that's something that really the commission itself determined would be a topic that needs to be addressed today. So
it is interesting how the world around us, the things happening in the world around us always bring about more questions, more things to study and research that I'm sure keep you and the commission quite busy, always
right.
reading and studying. Well, as I understand, the Commission on Theology and Church Relations has developed some new resources or recently published some new resources to help congregations, districts, the synod at large. Tell us about some of those resources.
Yeah, I'll even say that since we arranged to have this conversation, we've even produced some more resources that we'll be talking about this morning, and maybe I'll give people a heads up because possibly I'll be back here talking with you in a little while about another upcoming document that to be published soon on the relationship between science and theology. It's really a major report that explores, you know, how do we know things scientifically and how do we know things theologically and how do those two kinds of knowing intersect? That's going to be a major report that is going to get a lot of attention and we hope will be helpful to a lot of people, including students going away to school and confronting things like the theory of evolution or other kinds of scientific challenges to their faith, and we're hoping that that can help them work through those. But the three documents that we're talking about this morning were adopted by the commission several months ago at its December 2014 meeting, and one of them is, as I said, more of a Bible study that just kind of tries to grapple with the issue of persecution against Christians around the world, and even just hostility, increasing hostility toward the Christian faith and toward Christians, which is experienced not necessarily only in countries where there is outright persecution, but even, I think, you know, in a country like ours,
sure,
where more and more Christians start to feel like our belief systems and our values are kind of under attack, you know, in various ways. And how do we respond to that in not a defensive way that, you know, kind of invokes more criticism and hostility, but in, you know, kind of on a what would Jesus do way and what would did Jesus do way.
Sure. How do we respond faithfully?
Yeah. Right. And lovingly and in a way that invites conversation. Always be prepared, Peter says, to give an answer, you know, to those who ask you to explain the hope that is in you. And how do we go about and witness by our lives? I think we live in a culture that it's increasingly difficult to give witness verbally to people because they don't want to hear it. We haven't kind of earned the right to do it. Maybe they don't even have the vocabulary or the interest to do it. So I think more and more it's important that people notice how we're living. And then hopefully, you know, the loving, caring way that we're living will invite opportunities to have a conversation or to interest people in learning more about what Christians actually believe. So one of those resources is this Bible study. Many times when a resource is requested by the Synod and Convention, let's say, we'll produce it and then mail it physically mm-hmm. to all congregations and pastors and church workers in the Synod. In the case of all three of these resources, we did not do that. We simply made them available online. So if people out there listening say, well, I don't remember seeing that or I didn't get that, all you have to do is go to the CTCR's website and you can download it and look at it there mm-hmm. and use it as a personal study. Or, of course, we also hope that congregations will use it in a group study way as well. So that's one. The other two documents that we adopted at that meeting actually came about as a result from the president of the Synod. One of his responsibilities is to answer questions that his office receives about various issues and concerns in the Synod. And a couple of years ago, he asked the CTCR to prepare a document that would assist congregations and pastors and elders in putting together faithful communion statements. If you go to an LCMS congregation, sit down in the pew, most of the time, if you shuffle around a little bit or if you look, you'll see a little card or something in the bulletin that explains mm-hmm. the communion practice. And that's always a tricky area because we want to make people feel welcome in our congregations, but if people know anything about the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, they usually know that we don't just say when it comes to communion, hey, you know, anybody come. We want people to come and be prepared and receive it beneficially. And so this document is to help people kind of evaluate what does that card look like now? What does your bulletin statement say? And could it be said in a clearer, more helpful way?
Mm-hmm. And that you're right. When you go visit a congregation, usually it's on a card or in the bulletin or somewhere. There's some sort of statement, and I've seen them written all different kinds of ways, and some there is no statement. Mm-hmm. So having a resource to help congregations to approach the Lord's Supper and the fellowship the Lord's Supper in a faithful way, I mm-hmm. think is a good idea. That's a question I'm sure that many have been asking, or if they haven't been asking, maybe it's because they don't know how to ask or what to ask yeah. for when it comes to preparing a statement like that. How do you go about doing the research and the preparation of a document like this?
Mm-hmm. Well, in the case of communion, the commission has produced any number of documents over the years that address various aspects of this issue. We have a document, for example, that we produced years and years ago, 1983, called The Theology and Practice of the Lord's Supper. So it goes into more depth in terms of what is the Lord's Supper, what is the purpose of the Lord's Supper, and has a section in it on who should come to the Lord's Supper and what does the Bible say, what do the Lutheran confessions say about who is to be admitted to the Lord's Supper and how they are to be prepared for that. We have other documents. For example, this document that we just issued a few months ago actually builds on a model communion card statement that the commission itself developed about 15 years ago, just as an example of here's a kind of a statement that you might consider putting in your bulletin or using as a model for mm-hmm. developing your own, because we realize that there are different kind of circumstances. Even though it's nice to be consistent, you go from one Missouri Synod congregation to another, you'd hope you'd find some level of consistency in the kinds of statements that are there. But each congregation has its own kind of challenges to deal with in a particular context. And so, you know, nobody expects that all of these statements are going to be exactly the same. In a little small church in a small community, there might be one set of concerns. In a huge church in another community, you might want to, you know, say things a little differently or mm-hmm. emphasize some different things. So we took this little communion card statement that we developed years ago, and we sort of culled out of it some basic principles and then tried to expand on them and explain them and suggest ways that those who are developing these statements might want to look at their own statement, if they have one, and tweak it, or if they don't have one, to put one together. And then we took actual communion card statements that we found out there in LCMS congregations, not trying to be, we didn't say where they came from. We kind of said, now let's evaluate these cards. Mm-hmm. Here's one we found here. And it has certain strengths and it has certain weaknesses. And each of those that we evaluated really, you know, we were able to find ways to suggest maybe it could be improved or to commend things about. And we did that so that congregations out there would feel comfortable doing that to their own statements. Mm-hmm. You know, that,
sure.
You know, I think I didn't even look at the one in my home church. But if I did, I'd probably be able to do the same thing. You know, this does a really nice job of pointing out the gifts and blessings that come in the Lord's Supper. It doesn't maybe do such a good job explaining to a first-time visitor, you know, what am I supposed to do to prepare? Or, you know, how am I supposed to look at my potential, you know, attendance at this meal? And so those are the kinds of things that we tried to expand on in this document rather than just prepare a one-paragraph statement that may or may not be helpful, but it, you know, it doesn't help me necessarily evaluate what I'm doing in my congregation.
Could you? What were some of the clearest, most faithful and loving statements that you came across, mm-hmm. or that you found to be helpful?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think to be honest, I think the ones that are most helpful are the ones that emphasize, first of all, the desire that we have. And here's one of the challenges, frankly, is you have cards sometimes that are almost completely directed toward the members of a congregation. I mean, members of a congregation should be preparing to come to communion every Sunday, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just not, well, I'm a member of this congregation. Of course, I'm coming to communion, and I just get up and go. You know, so many cards are directed toward the members, assuming that they're catechized, they know what they believe or should and all of that. But still, you should kind of prepare yourself.
Sure. Self-examination. Yeah, sure.
Exactly. You know, what sins have I committed that I need to confess? That I have some grudge that I'm holding in my heart against someone. Am I really kind of thinking about and remembering what this meal is about? Other cards sometimes are more directed toward the guest. And so those cards are focused less on kind of those kind of issues, self-preparation, because we don't even know if that person knows how to prepare, you know, or what the Lord's Supper is, and they need a little more basic instructions about this. But then the focus is, boy, you know, this meal that we're going to be sharing in church today really is designed for people who understand what it is. But if you really would like to know more about it, here are some leading questions to help you understand why this is so important to us, why we take it so seriously, even some things that the Bible says about it that are a little cautionary, like not everyone receives this to their blessing. It can even be harmful if it's not properly received. And then pointing people to someone, you know, the pastor or someone who can connect them to the pastor who could explain in more detail if they're interested about, you know, how you can be part of this great blessing and gift, and to let them know that we really want that to happen. You know, we don't just want to say to you, stay away. We want you to come, but we want you to come and receive this as a blessing. So I think trying to sort of think through to what extent we want this card to communicate both to our members and to guests, and some congregations have separate statements for those, you know, to our members. Here are some questions to think about to help you to prepare. To our guests and visitors, here are some somewhat different questions sure. that we've got designed for you. But the bottom line, I think, of the statements I find most helpful are those that are both very loving and make it clear that our goal is to have all of us together celebrate this wonderful gift around the Lord's table and what the takeaway is from that gift, God's love for you in Jesus Christ, in the body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and yet statements that are clear about the fact that you do need to know something. You need to have learned something and believe something in order to receive that gift properly. I think people in today's culture appreciate some honesty and some clarity about that, not just to be kind of treated as you can't handle this. You know, I mean, when I go to any kind of a special event, usually there are kind of some protocols to follow.
Sure.
And I don't think people these days are offended by being told, oh, here's, you know, they're confused too. What am I supposed to do when it comes to this part of the service? Am I just supposed to get up and follow everyone down there or not? And I think being honest about the fact that in our church body, based on what the Bible says, we believe there are certain things that need to be done to prepare for this. And here they are.
It sounds like some of the more helpful ones had a little bit of catechesis in them, a little bit of explanation as to what this is that we receive, and explaining that this isn't a closed country club that no one else outside of our club is welcome, but rather this, we want, because we love you, we want you to receive this as a benefit to your soul.
And also the other thing that can happen kind of easily is to make it look like those who are invited to come, openly invited to come, are somehow up here, and those who aren't are somehow down there. So, you know, that you're not, or something about you that isn't as good as or acceptable. It's really just the opposite, if you really think about it. You know, it's when you realize you have nothing to bring and to give and to contribute, if you realize that you're down there, then you're ready to come up here. And so it's sort of, you know, counterintuitive, actually. And if there's somehow a way to, the reason we're entitled, quote unquote, to come up here is that we realize we are totally unworthy, you know. If you can get to that point with us, you know, to realize how rotten you are with us, you know, then, hey, you know, you're 90% of the way to understanding why this is so special to us.
If you realize you're rotten just like the rest of us. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from the break, we'll continue our conversation. We have some more, another resource to share. We're talking with Dr. Joel Leyenbauer, Executive Director of the LCMS Commission on Theology and Church Relations. Stick around for more of his time right after this break on Worldwide KFU.
Worldwide KFUO Radio salutes our day sponsor on this Tuesday, March 24th, 2015. Today's day sponsors are Terry and Patricia Rosenberger. Today's day sponsors have made a contribution to Worldwide KFUO in loving memory of Terry and Patricia's son, Scott, who is home with the Lord. Once again, we say thank you to Terry and Patricia Rosenberger of Vergennes, Illinois, today's Worldwide KFUO Day Sponsors. Did you know that your gift to the Lutheran Elementary School Association is matched dollar for dollar? If you would like to support Lutheran education, consider attending a Night for Kids tribute dinner auction on Saturday, April 18th at the St. Louis Marriott West. Proceeds benefit over 8,000 students enrolled in 35 Lutheran schools in our community. For information, call 314-268-1525 or lesastl.org.
Hi, this is John Bon Jovi, asking you to go to serve.gov to get involved in something you believe in. I'm a big believer in the power of we.
We weren't born.
We can tackle the tough challenges we face and build community through service and volunteering. United we stand, united we serve. Are you with me? Go to serve.gov for more information about how to volunteer in your community.
This message is brought to you by United We Serve and the Corporation for National and Community Service.
Hey, Pastor Craig D'Onofrio here. I want to thank you, my Drive Time friends, for all of the wonderful things that you've been saying about Reformation Rush Hour. It's a pleasure to spend your evening commute with you. If you haven't been listening, you've been missing some fantastic topics, guests, and lighthearted fun. So please be one of my Drive Time friends. Monday through Friday, 5 to 6 p.m. Central on Worldwide KFUO, 850 a.m. in St. Louis, KFUO.org worldwide.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We're talking with Dr. Joel Leyenbauer, Executive Director of the Commission on Theology and Church Relations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and a number of resources that are now available. And Dr. Leyenbauer, I want to point folks to that website. It's lcms.org/CTCR, correct?
Right. And the first three documents, we have a section called New Resources, I think. Mm-hmm.
Recent Actions, yeah.
Yeah, and those are all there. I'll also mention that the communion piece that we're just talking about will be in, this was a decision of the president of the synod who requested that piece. Uh-huh. He apparently thought it was helpful enough that he decided to include it as an insert in the next reporter. So the entire document will be in the next reporter as an insert. And also, I'll just throw a little plug in, another insert in that same issue of the reporter will be about the revision of the explanation of Luther's Small Catechism, which is another major project that the CTCR is working on. We've come up with a template for a revision of the explanation of the catechism that will have four parts to it. This is kind of new. And people, I think, will be interested in that because the Small Catechism and the explanation is a large part of the life of most LCMS young people and adults.
Sure.
And we were asked by the last convention to kind of freshen it up. And so we've even got a survey that'll be kind of posted soon on a separate website that allows people to go and tell us, what do you think about mm-hmm. this new format for the explanation? So look for that there, both those inserts and the coming to a reporter near you soon.
So that'll be coming out very soon. Now, one other document available on the website, lcms.org/CTCR, addresses another topic. We've addressed communion statements. What's the other document that's now available?
Right. The third resource that we adopted in December is a review of various questions around the service of women in the church, which has always been a kind of a issue of concern and sometimes challenge, and not just in our church body, but really in every Christian church body, you have questions like, well, let's say, can women be pastors? You know, everybody who knows a little bit about what is going on in the Christian church today knows that there are some major church bodies like the Roman Catholic Church and the Orthodox Church, which don't have women serving in ordained priest or pastor roles. And that's also true in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. There are many other Protestant denominations that do have women serving as pastors. And so this document doesn't raise any new questions in that regard. It definitely affirms the position of the Synod that women should not serve as pastors. We believe the Bible is quite clear about that. But it does explore some issues, other issues that have come up over the years in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And maybe a place to start is to go back like almost 50 years ago to 1969, which is when the Synod first adopted a resolution that allowed women to vote in congregational assemblies. That's a long time ago, and to some it might seem like, wow, there was a time when women couldn't even vote. Yeah, there was. And in some Missouri Synod congregations, that's still the practice, and we basically allow congregations to decide what they think would be most helpful in that regard. But I think it's probably, I don't know the statistics, but probably 80% of LCMS congregations, I would guess, do have a polity where when you have a congregational meeting, women and men both are allowed to vote of a certain age. But that was pretty controversial back in 1969. And actually, one of the questions that evolved out of that decision was, well, if both men and women can vote in congregational assemblies, and if our congregation's constitution says that any voting member of the congregation is eligible to hold any office in the congregation, does that then mean that women can hold any office in the congregation? That was a question that was a real kind of a burning question. And then that gets a little complicated to sort through all the kind of meanderings of trying to sort that out. But what this document does, again requested by the Synod President, is try to sort out that question and say, Okay, well, under these circumstances, kind of it seems that if congregations wish to do so, women could be allowed to hold these offices. And always kind of the main factor does come back into play, this issue of the pastoral office and its distinctive functions. If any office would ask a woman to do what we believe only pastors should do, the commission said no. They shouldn't be preaching. They shouldn't be leading worship. Those are things that are set aside for pastors and people in the pastoral office. But if what is going on in those offices has to do more with what we regard as the proper realm of the laity, the priest of all believers, there's no reason in most cases that women should not be able to do that as well. That's a very simple answer to what is a complex yeah. of issues in this document. And this one would be a little bit more challenging, I think, for people to work through. It really was something that we presented to the president to help him sort through some of the, you know, more mm-hmm. challenging issues that sometimes come to his office, women who are, what about reading lessons in public worship? What about assisting with communion? Mm-hmm. You can get into some very specific kinds of challenging issues, and this document tries to help sort through those. Some would be quite interested in it. Others might say, well, I'll let the powers that be yeah. kind of worry about that and not get too worked up about it.
So some helpful reading. Again, you can find these documents, lcms.org/ctcr. Dr. Leyenbauer, thanks so much for taking some time to talk with us today and share with us these new resources. The Reverend Dr. Joel Leyenbauer, Executive Director of the LCMS Commission on Theology and Church Relations. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Great to be with you.
Coming up in just a little bit, we've got our study of the Daily New Testament reading right after AP Radio News and the weather on Worldwide KFUO. The Messenger of Good News.